Today on the Rising Coaches Podcast.
Well, how do you keep the backup guy engaged? Well, you know, like every time he's got a great screen assist, like we cut it out and show it the next day and we go nuts. Like we act like he just had a Sports Center highlight dunk and we'll be like, hey man, they're not doing a 30 for 30 on this. They're not putting it in Sports Illustrated, but like this stuff matters. Like this is huge. This is why we're winning.
Today's podcast is brought to you by the Rising Coaches Association, the biggest coaching tree in all of basketball. Sign up for the Rising Coaches Association now for just $120 a year and become part of our community, relationships, and development. We talk about it all the time. There's no straight lines in this profession. There's only ups and downs. You need a community that knows exactly what you're going through and has been there before to help lean on during the rough times of the industry. You need genuine relationships, not just exchanging numbers, not just meeting new people at the Final Four in the off season. You should be doing it all year round, and we provide tremendous opportunities to create those genuine relationships all through the year. And finally, development. We have so much content and so many resources so that you can work on your craft and become a better coach. Because we put such a premium and an emphasis on helping you establish new, genuine relationships, it takes all of the political BS side of the business out of the equation for you. All of that gets removed off of your plate. You can just worry about being you, making new friends in the business, and working on your craft and becoming the best coach that you can be and impacting the people that you're around on a daily basis. For more information, visit risingcoaches.com/membership on risingcoaches.com. Welcome to the Rising Coaches Podcast. We are very excited about today's episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Fulcrum Tech. If you guys are looking to save money in your budget and increase your capabilities with your video editing system, go visit our friends at Fulcrum Tech, fulcrumtech.com. Check out their product Angles. It's as good as any video editing system that I've ever seen in my, you know, close to 20 years in coaching. And again, cheaper than anything out there on the in the market. So check out our friends at Fulcrum Tech, and a big thank you to them for being our partners. Okay, excited to jump in today. We got Morehead State head coach Preston Spradling. Preston, what's up? How are you?
What's up, man? I'm doing well. Doing well. Appreciate you having me on here.
Yeah, good to see you as always. Great podcast scheduling. We got you fresh off the Belmont win last night. Congratulations. Anyone who knows the OVC knows, you know, over the last, what, almost 5-10 years, Belmont's been one of the top dogs. So huge win for you guys finishing the regular season.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. And had we lost that game in overtime, I probably would have canceled on you this morning. I'm teasing. No, it was a big one. Obviously, anytime you want to finish the regular season and get a little momentum going into postseason. And, you know, we had just played Belmont at their place 2 weeks ago. We broke our winning streak. We were at 12 games. And so obviously, you know, it was a good wake up call for us. And our guys really responded, and we made the adjustments that we needed to, learned a lot from that first game down there, and guys came in ready to play. And we've got a tough group, man. I tell you, that's the thing, that our toughness and togetherness has been the calling card for our group. Sometimes it's not always pretty. You know, I just think we've got a group that's willing to win a game in the 50s, or if we need to get it in the 80s, like last night, we can do that. But it's certainly been a fun group to coach, and that was a great way to end the regular season here at home on senior day with a win against Belmont.
Absolutely. Yeah, you guys locked up the number 2 seed as well heading into the postseason play. You guys 17-3 in conference, and you probably know this off your fingertips, I believe 20-7, which is, you know, as you guys know, at the mid-major level, it's hard to get 20 wins in a year because you're playing, you know, guarantee games and things like that. So huge, huge congrats on the season so far. And we're going to get into like your coaching path here in a little bit, but I want to spend a little bit more time because, you know, you guys are having such a great year. At what point did you know like this team was different?
You know, we knew going into the offseason that we really were going to have a different team than what we'd had. We were going to be a lot older, even though we lost a lot of points on the board last year statistically with guys that had graduated. We knew we had some guys coming back, and we had three guards sitting out for us last year that all three start for us right now. They were older. They'd all redshirted, obviously. One of them had set out with an injury, had been with us since he was a freshman. The other two had transferred in. And so we got a lot bigger in the offseason. That was kind of our plan. We wanted to get bigger across the board. And so we got to the point where we were only recruiting big guards the past couple of years, 6'3", 6'4", even at the point guard position, and just having great versatility. So we knew we had a lot more size. We had a lot more experience. But I think the big separator for our group is the toughness. I just think we had some guys that really just really loved the game and just demonstrated some real toughness all the time, you know. And we spent a lot of time this offseason, you know, learning and talking about that. You know, Jay Billis's book, Toughness, was a big part of our program this year. You know, when we had guys go home for quarantine, you know, I read three different books with players this year. I let them pick the book. I gave them some suggestions. And I would actually send them the book, and we'd call and talk to each other every couple weeks or a couple days about the chapters. And Jay Billis's Toughness was a book that I read with about three of our players this year. And I think it had a big impact on why we are where we are right now, because our guys just got a real understanding of what, you know, being a tough person, a tough player, and a tough team is all about.
Yeah. And to your point about being older, you've done a great job. You know, everyone knows transfers is something that's like a huge part of college basketball now. And you guys have had some over the years, but in your 5 years at Moorhead, you've done as good a job as anybody with maintaining like your core group and not, you know, having constant turnover. You guys have really done a good job with that consistency and carryover year to year.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I think that's how you win at this level. You know, and I kind of learned that, you know, my interim season when I took over for Sean, you know, we had six seniors that year and they were all junior college players. So they'd only been there for 2 years. And so that year that they were seniors, you know, we were really good. We were tough. We were experienced and all those things. But it was a big fall when those guys graduated. You know, they all left. And so when I got the job, we had the opportunity to kind of rebuild it the way that I wanted to. And I wanted to have a little bit of balance. So we had a good mixture of high school players, junior college players in there. And didn't want to get in that position to where we'd be just graduating a massive amount of guys every 2 years. And, you know, two of the guys that start for us right now, one of them is a senior, one's a redshirt junior. They were the very two first players that I signed when I got the job, and we signed them as freshmen. And, you know, now they're seniors. And so they were the first two guys to really, you know, believe in our program and the vision that we had for them and for the team. And it's really nice to see that now that they're into their fourth years and it's paying off for them and paying off for us. And they've been there, you know, every step of the way for it.
Yeah. And you see, I think a lot of the reason kids transfer so much now, too, is because so many programs, if you're not having great high level success, the season becomes like a drag at some point, and kids are like dreading coming to practice and being in the gym. And it's just, you know, it's become a year round sport. But, you know, I had the chance to see, you know, your team quite a bit being at SEMO in the same conference, and your guys, even years where you weren't, you know, the number two seed like you are this year, your guys always seem to have some pop to you. I think you guys always have music going on. I think I've heard you rapping a little bit here and there, maybe not that, but no, you guys just always seem to have like fun, and it seems like a lively atmosphere when you guys are around each other.
You know, that's really important to me. It always has been. Talk about it in recruiting. And I just think at the end of the day, it does need to be fun. And, you know, as a staff, we talk about it early on with our players of, you know, what is your definition of fun? And so we try to kind of, I don't want to say manipulate it, but we try to identify with them early on, like, what is fun? Okay. Like, if you like video games, is it fun to just put it on the easy mode and come in and just beat it every day? Or do you want to, you know, crank it up and challenge yourself and make it tough? And so we try to identify and shift the mindset with our guys that fun is getting better. Fun is competing. You know, fun is challenging yourself and doing things that are hard. And we simulate that every day. You know, I know a lot of coaches don't like it, and we certainly have to rein it back in sometimes. But like, we love trash talk in practice, as crazy as it is. And we make sure it doesn't cross a line. And we as coaches will do it too. Like, my assistants are really good at gassing up the guys and getting them going. And players that are injured that can't play, like, they bring great energy all the time and get the second team pumped up and little things like that. And so I think things like that just make it fun. It's a rule. It always has been since I was in my interim year. Like, we're going to celebrate wins. Because, you know, when I took over, Adam, we lost 6 games in a row, like, when I took over as the interim coach. And so when we finally won our first game, like, it was, you would have thought we just won the Super Bowl. And we celebrated like we did. And from that point on, we went on to win a lot more games, but we always kept our joy and we made sure to celebrate. I mean, it didn't matter if we beat Central Arkansas or we beat Murray State my interim year. Like, we ran in the locker room and sprayed water bottles and danced to music and had a good time. And I just think things like that are important at this level, especially when you get to this point in the year. And especially in a year like COVID, I mean, you've got to make it fun for the guys. And we've done a lot of different stuff this year to try to make sure that we do that. One thing we do that I'm really big on, and maybe sometimes I get too carried away with it, is, you know, I'm really big on film. I learned that from Cal. Obviously, I was his video coordinator for a couple years. But one thing about Cal is he cuts up his own film after every game. And so it would either be myself or my assistant, Dominic Lombardi, who was at Kentucky with me, like, literally sitting with him, whether it was on a bus, on a plane, in the office, and writing down or cutting the clips that he wanted. And he was always great about having a really good balance of, you know, win, lose, or draw, we're going to watch 20 clips. And he'd get every point that he wanted across in those, whether they were positive or negative. And so that's exactly how I do it too. But we keep it pretty light sometimes with the guys. Like, we'll show the good stuff, we'll show the bad stuff. Guys get roasted sometimes, guys get praised. But we do some fun stuff. Like, we're really big on coaching our bench and like having great bench energy. Like, one of our goals each game is to get a bench warning. And we get them, like, all the time. Our bench is absolutely incredible. Like, dudes go nuts. And it is comical. Coaches go crazy. And so, like, if you're on the bench and a guy makes a great play, I mean, name any great play that could happen in a game, taking a charge, blocking a shot, dunking, whatever. And, like, there's a really good bench celebration. Like, I make guys get up and reenact it in front of everybody in the film room. Whether you're a coach or a player, like, you're going to get up and reenact whatever it is that you were doing in the game. And so they know that. It's fun. I'll do it myself because I've got some funny reactions, and I'll get up and do it. We use a lot of movie clips in film. So, like, you know, if guys, make a great play or whatever it may be, like, it might show that play and then boom, it'll cut to a funny movie clip. You know, we had the other day, we played at SIUE and, Skylar Potter, one of our starting guards, we put in a downhill drive play for him just the day before the game. And I use it as, like, a reward play. So, like, if you take a charge or you get a block shot or, you know, you're first to the floor, well, we go down the next time, like, I'm going to give you that type of play to reward you. And so, of course, he gets downhill and he's a phenomenal athlete. He goes off 2 feet and he dunks on, like, 3 people. So everybody goes nuts. So the next day in film, you know, the guys know we're probably going to show that. And so we show it. And then immediately it goes to the clip from the movie Bad Boys where Martin Lawrence is driving and he busts through a wall and Will Smith is like, that's how you drive from now on. That's how you drive. And so little stuff like that. It's so funny too, because my staff is always on the lookout for, like, funny movie clips. Like, we keep clips of, or we keep a list of different things. And so I just think little stuff like that's important, man. You know, you got to think, you know, most good teams, like, we're fortunate to be this year, you're not going to play 12 guys. Nobody is. You know, you're going to play 7-8 guys. So what do you do with the other 5? You know, when they're in there for a 30-minute film session and they're not on the film, like, how are you going to keep them engaged? So you got to show stuff like that. You know, like, we've got an awesome backup center. Like, he's an unbelievable kid. He's going to be an attorney. Like he does everything you ask him to do, you know. And then obviously we've got a freshman who's one of the best big men in the league. Well, how do you keep the backup guy engaged? Well, you know, like every time he's got a great screen assist, like we cut it out and show it the next day and we go nuts. Like we act like he just had a Sports Center highlight dunk, and we'll be like, hey man, they're not doing a 30 for 30 on this. They're not putting it in Sports Illustrated, but like this stuff matters. Like this is huge. This is why we're winning. And so little things like that, man, are so important. I appreciate you saying like we have fun, because we do. Like we have fun. And I think again, it just kind of, how do you identify fun and how do you identify toughness? Like, you know, we've had a couple games this year where, like, you know, our game at Tennessee Tech got switched to 1 o'clock instead of 4. Okay, on the road. And, you know, at first I was like, well, I guess we won't be able to do a shoot around. And shoot arounds are important to me. Like I love shoot arounds. They're big for what we do. It's a big reason our defense is the way it is. And I've always said, I got this from Cal, noon, 1 o'clock games, like the team that wants to be there is going to win. And my guys know that. And so I guess Tech didn't use their shoot around time. So they offered it up to us. And we said, hell yeah, yeah, we'll take it. So we got up, we drove across town, we brought our speaker in the gym, we blasted it like crazy. We did like a 30-minute shortened shoot around just to get the guys' juices flowing. Like the janitor, when we were walking out, was like, it was like a party in there at like 8 o'clock in the morning. What are you guys doing? Say, well, we're ready to come in here and get this win. And that's just what we do. Like our guys are just, they know, like, yeah, we're going to get up. We're going to be ready to go. We're going to have a great shoot around. And we had another game this year. I'm not going to name the opponent, but like we got up and we had shoot around before them and we're on the road and we're walking out of the gym, like out of shoot around. And our dudes are jacked up. And our guys literally watched the other team get out of their cars, rubbing their eyes, sleepy, walking into the arena. And, we got to pregame meal. We went straight back, went to pregame meal because it was an early game on the road. And they were like, they looked at me and they said, Coach, game's over. It's over with. I said, what are you talking about? Don't act like that. Don't be arrogant. They said, Coach, guys, we're asleep, man. We already got our stuff in. We're ready to go. We're tougher. They're right. We just out-toughed them, you know, that opponent. And so I just think that's important, man. You gotta do stuff like that with the guys, you know, keeping your top 6-7 engaged is easy. They're playing. It's the other guys that's a challenge. And I think, you know, I learned that from Sean. Sean did a great job. Like, he would coach every player on the roster like they were starter, walk-ons. And I'm not quite as good at it as him with that, but I really try to be intentional about coaching every guy, every day, as best we can. And, you know, we split our teams up every day, blue and gold. And, you know, oftentimes our top 6 or whatever on the gold team. And not all the time, but, you know, most of the time, like if we're getting, you know, day before game or something. And so my assistants do a great job of pumping up what we call the blue squad, like getting them pumped. Like they might need to come in and ice ball screens today. They might blitz a certain way. They might, whatever that we're getting ready for the opponent to do. Or we might pick our freshman guard and say, hey, you got to be, you know, Mark Freeman from Tennessee State, and you get to rock today. Like you get to shoot whatever shot you want or whatever. And they do a great job of getting our guys to do that. And it's so valuable, the role that those guys play. And so we have meetings, and one of the guys that's doesn't play as much, he calls our backup squad, he calls them the OG blue squad. And so, you know, kind of like the old Ice-T, you know, OG original gangster stuff. And so we surprised those guys with some OG blue squad t-shirts. And, you know, we presented them to the team and we were like, you know, you guys starters, you know, top 6 guys, like, you don't get them. Sorry. You don't get these shirts. They're not for you. They're for the OG blue squad. Cause we're going to take care of those guys and let them know how important they are to our success that we're having right now.
Yeah. And all this stuff that you're talking about, like, it doesn't guarantee success, but it's really hard to have that type of success without it. You know what I mean? Unless you're just uber talented. And, but even then you get to March and it's like, the teams that are the most together are the teams that win.
No question.
Yeah. And it's great to see like that coming to life for you guys. And I know it's been 5 years in the making, but yeah, it's here. And you guys are in the OVC tournament next week, ready to make a run, which is awesome. Preston, you mentioned Coach Cal, obviously, a few times already. Tell us how you got linked up with Kentucky basketball.
Man, I've got such a crazy story. I played at Alice Lloyd College, small NAIA school, and my last year there. So Alice Lloyd is a work study college. So every student that goes to school there, you have a job on campus. My first 2 years, I was a dorm janitor. And so I cleaned toilets. I took out trash. I swept and mopped the hallways in the dorms. And so I actually have plaques where I was the male work study of the year 2 years in a row of the entire college for cleaning toilets and doing that stuff. So I took a lot of pride in it. And as a shout out, my wife was as well. She was she worked in the craft shop on campus, and she was the female work study of the year award winner for 2 years. So we were literally the hardest working couple on campus.
Shout out to Missy, man.
She's unbelievable. So we were literally the hardest working couple on campus. And I take a lot of pride in that, but I say that because my last 2 years at Alice Lloyd, I got to, my work study got shifted to being, basically kind of an assistant coach. We had a JV team, so I got to coach the JV team, and I got to do like laundry for my teammates and, you know, just managerial work while I was a player. And so there was a lot of humility that came with that. And I figured out I wanted to coach. Like, I wanted to coach in college. Every summer after my freshman year, I would work tons of basketball camps all over the place. Some of them I got paid for, some of them I didn't. Some of them, you know, they'd give you a dorm to stay in. Some of them they didn't. Like, I slept a night or two in my truck just so I could work a basketball camp and meet people. And so anyway, I got up to my senior year, season was over. And so I started to, you know, shift over to being basically an assistant coach for Alice Lloyd. So I started to go out and recruit local high school games. And the WYMT Mountain Classic, I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but it's a big tournament in Eastern Kentucky, where I'm from and where Alice Lloyd is. And the guy who's commentating the game for the local TV station is a guy named Jim Bill Frazier. Well, Jim Bill Frazier is my sixth grade math teacher. And so I go up at halftime of the whatever game I'm watching and spend a few minutes with Jim Bill. And he's like, you know, Preston, what are you going to do? I said, you know what? I want to become a graduate assistant somewhere. I want to get my master's and I want to start coaching in college. He says, well, okay, where are you going to do it at? I said, I don't know. He said, how are you going to do it? I said, I don't know that either. It's just what I really want to do and figure out a way to do it. So he picks up the phone and he calls a guy by the name of Wayne Martin. And Wayne Martin is the former head coach here at Morehead State back in the 80s, won a championship, wildly successful. And so he calls Wayne and says, hey, is there any way that we can, you know, help this guy out? And so I end up sending Wayne an email just to introduce myself. And he asked me to come down and meet with him. And at that time, he was the president of WKYT, the CBS affiliate in Lexington. So I drive down, put a suit on one day and go in, and I walk in his office. He tells me to take the tie off, and we don't sit at the desk. We sit like in a little sitting area, and we sat and we talked basketball for an hour. And he asked me what I wanted to do. And anyway, we obviously had a very similar background. We're from the same place. You know, he had coached in my hometown. Obviously, he had been the head coach at Pikeville College. He had been the head coach here at Morehead. And so anyway, it gets me connected. At that point in time, you know, he was very connected with all the Kentucky coaches because of his affiliation with the Lexington station. And so he kind of gets me on board in the video room at Kentucky. And basically, I didn't know anyone. I didn't know anyone on staff. And I didn't technically get hired by the video room. And that's the same video room that guys like Frank Vogel started out in, you know, a long time ago. And so I got there and that summer, and I didn't know anyone. No one knew me. And I literally, this is the God's honest truth, I could barely send an email that's how tech, how poorly my technology skills were. I couldn't hook up a VCR. I didn't have any interest in doing video. Didn't want to have, you know, I just got done playing. I wanted to get on the court. I wanted to coach. Well, that wasn't going to be my role anytime soon. And so anyway, at that point in time, we had eight guys. That was Cal's first year on staff. We had eight guys who were in the support staff outside of the assistants. And all of them had some type of connection, you know, whether they were their dad was a coach or, you know, they were a really good player in their own right somewhere else. And, you know, here I was, I didn't have any of that stuff. And so I just kind of figured, you know, if I'm going to make a role for myself, I'm just going to have to work, you know, do what got me here. And so I did, you know, I came early and stayed late, and I had like one job when I first got there, and then it turned into, okay, hey, who wants to do this? I'll do it. Well, hey, this was supposed to be done. Who was supposed to do it? You know, I don't know who was supposed to do it, but I'll do it from now on type of attitude. And, you know, it's one of those things, once you start doing a couple things, you do a good job with it, they give you a few more things to do. And before you knew it, I was doing all kinds of things and learning on the fly how to, you know, I became the keeper of the playbook. You know, Cal put in a play or tweak a play, and I was the one who kept a record of it. I was the one who updated each and every assistant coach's playbooks in their offices every day. I took it really seriously. And through that, I learned a lot of X's and O's. You know, I got to do the, you know, obviously was doing a lot of video. So I worked heavily with John Robick, who did all the scouts at that point in time. And, you know, it started off, he would watch games, he'd write down times and he'd give them to me to cut out clips. And then I'd cut the clips out and I'd label them. I learned how to label, you know, scout clips and put them together and figure out which one's the best one to show the team. And then just got, you know, then it became drawing the opponent's plays. Then it became, hey, you know, Preston, do the advanced scouting, you know, work 3 weeks in advance on opponents so that, you know, we as a staff don't have to watch four full games. We can watch the edit you put together for us and we'll be prepared. And so that's kind of how it went, you know, and then all kinds of operations things, obviously a lot of work with the players, making sure that they were where they needed to be and things like that. But, you know, it was an unbelievable experience, and it's a crazy story, you know, how I got there. No, I'm a big believer. Faith is very important to me. And, to be honest with you, that's exactly how I got into coaching and got to be where I am is faith. You know, that's very important to me, and that's a crazy story, but, I believe God's got a plan, and that was his plan. And I'm very thankful that it's worked out for me.
Yeah, no question. This is going to be hard to do, but like, can you give us like Coach Cal's greatness, you know, in like one short statement, like what makes him who he is and so special?
I think the greatest thing about Cal is he's wildly successful, right? He's in the Hall of Fame, rightfully so. He's had so much success, but he keeps a chip on his shoulder as if he's still the same 30-year-old first-time head coach at UMass. You know, he still works that way. He still thinks in that way. And I think that's really important because there's a humbleness that I think a lot of successful coaches lose, and he has not lost that. He keeps his edge. He keeps it. He keeps, you know, pushing himself to get better. And the other thing too, and he says it all the time, but it's he's all about his players. I mean, he's about his players. He's about his staff, and he takes care of people. And I think that's who Cal is. You know, he keeps a great edge. He pushes himself. He doesn't have arrogance to him. He's got great humility, and then he cares. He cares about the people in his program.
Is he constantly like, not selling, like motivating his own team? Like, he seems like the best in the world at that. And even like, I used to just watch his like post game press conferences, and somebody would ask him a question and he'd answer it. Like, it doesn't matter what they ask him. He's going to answer it like to nail the point that he wants to make.
I get accused of that a lot too. I may have done that on this call already a couple times, but no, he's the master motivator. and he's obviously the master of the media as well. He's done such a fantastic job with that. But he is, you know, he really is. And I think in terms of, you know, X's and O's wise and stuff, Cal's fantastic. But I think what makes him so good at Kentucky every year with a lot of new players, you know, we as coaches, like, we can all come up with 1,000 unbelievable plays, right? I think that was a mistake I made year one as a head coach. I wanted people to watch the game and be like, man, they run unbelievable stuff. Yeah, yeah. And I wanted, you know, all that stuff. Doesn't matter. I think Cal, you know, he could obviously do that if he wanted to, but I think the beauty of what he does is he's got new guys every year, oftentimes really young, and he gets them to play extremely hard. He gets them to play together, and he gets them to execute. And sometimes in order to accomplish those three things, you gotta run some simple stuff. And it's funny. One thing I always steal, like, I'm amazed by coaches that have, you know, like, I don't know how some coaches have like secret play calls and stuff. I don't know how they do it. My play call is literally, I'm going to yell what we're running and I'm going to do the signal with my hands just in case the guys don't hear it. And then one of our rules is you literally relay the call to each other. Like, right. All five guys have to scream what the play call is. And so that's just how we do it. That's how we did it at Kentucky with Cal. And, you know, I don't know how guys have secret play calls that their teams can execute plays. But anyway, he was always like, we don't care if they know our play calls. If we run our stuff right, it doesn't matter. We can still get whatever we want out of this play, even if they do know what it is. And so we kind of try to take the same approach. I literally, when we played a team second time around this year, we were going over some offense. I told the guys, I said, yeah, we killed them with this play last time. You can bet they're going over it. They watched film of it. They looked at pictures of it. They redrew it on the whiteboard. They did it in crayon. And the players started yelling, they drew it in a Sharpie, coach. They drew it in a Sharpie. They drew it with a pen. You know, they started yelling stuff like that. So we were like, we don't even care if they know the play call. Just let them have it. We'll run our plays anyway. So anyway, I know I got off topic there a little bit, but I think that's what makes Cal so good, the simplicity of what he does. And he gets guys to play hard and he gets them to play together, and that wins.
Okay, let's fast forward a little bit in your career here. I think you spent 5 years at Kentucky before joining the staff at Morehead for Sean Wood. He did a great job there. You guys are having success. Were you 3 years into Morehead before you got?
So it was my third year. Yeah,
third year. Okay,
third
so
year when I took over.
So you're fairly, like, you're young. You're fairly new in, like, as an assistant coach on the court and on the road. I know you got aspirations at that time to be a head coach, but, you know, there was a change that was made 9 games into the season, and all of a sudden you find yourself having to slide over a chair and be put in that position. There's no way you, like, were expecting that or prepared. Like, take us back to that a little bit and talk to, like, assistant coaches who, you know, you just never know when that opportunity is going to come, right?
No, without question. And, you know, I got to give Sean so much credit. Like, working for Sean was great. He was so much fun to work for, you know. And one thing that I always appreciated about him is the day that I got here as an assistant, he started letting me coach. I mean, he would give me time in practice to, you know, because we ran dribble drive here. Sean really loved the dribble drive offense. And obviously coming from Kentucky, it's what we did. And so he would let me run with it. When I got here, he let me change terminology of cuts, what we were doing. He would give me time every day at the beginning of practice where we would put, you know, team on each end of the court and we'd run guys through different things and get multiple scores and shots. And he'd never done that. And he let me do it. And so he let me coach and he gave me a lot of responsibility to do things. And so I say that because I think it's really important as an assistant coach that you really try to do more, you know. And I think it's really important as a head coach that you give your assistant coaches head coaching responsibilities. And I think that's extremely important. Because the goal is they want to be head coaches too. It's not a secret. Like, everybody wants to be a head coach, right? If you're not, then why are you in this business? You don't want to have your own program one day. And I don't think anybody gets into it saying, I want to be a lifelong assistant. Not that there's anything in the world wrong with being an assistant coach, but I think the end game for all of us is we want to be a head coach. And so as a head coach, if you're not preparing the guys on your staff to do that, then you're cheating them. You know, you really are. And Sean did a great job of that. He would let us coach. I mean, he really did. And so when I did get that opportunity, you know, even though I hadn't called timeouts per se, everybody likes to use that comment, or, you know, done a few of the things that head coaches do. I'd done a lot of things that that a head coach does. And I'd done a lot of things there that he did, that because he let me do them. You know, he'd let me run a film session. You know, there'd be a game where, you know, post game, he'd say, hey, you cut the film up, and then, you know, tomorrow I'm going to let you present it to the guys. So I got to do that. That stuff's great. You know what I mean? You know how valuable that is when your head coach lets you do that, when the head coach lets you stop practice and correct guys and jump guys. Little things like that are so important. And I think another thing that I learned from Sean that was so important, nothing drove him crazier than when a player disrespected an assistant coach. And I'm the same way now. You know, I don't get really upset about a lot of things, but if you disrespect, you backtalk, you eye roll, you don't pay attention to an assistant coach, I get really mad. I get really upset. And I will call a guy out in a heartbeat in front of everyone. And I learned that from him, and it's important. And what it does is it really empowers your staff when you do things like that in front of your players. And Sean did a great job of that. And so when I got the opportunity to take over for him, you know, a couple things were easier. Like our guys played so hard. Like we had unbelievable toughness that Sean's teams played with anyway. So I didn't have to do that. I didn't have to get them to play hard. They were going to do it anyway. We had tough guys. So then it was just about, you know, figuring out, hey, you know, what do we need to change? What do we need to run a little bit differently? How do we need to guard something a little bit differently? And just I didn't have to coach the effort. You know, and that made my job a lot easier as an interim coach, to be honest with you, because I didn't have to do that part of it.
What about like in terms of, you know, you get that interim spot and it's pretty uncommon for an interim coach who gets that title in the middle of the season to actually get the interim tag removed and get a contract. And like I think back to I was super fortunate to be at Clemson when Dabo Sweeney was named interim coach of the Clemson football team. And Coach Bowden had gotten let go. And, you know, the team was, you know, first of all, he got the team to play with a lot more juice and energy and passion. And you just kind of talked about that a little bit. That was kind of already in place. But there were like a lot of little things he did. Like, for instance, Coach Bowden, like you never really saw him on campus. And if you did, it was like a celebrity sighting. And he had this big office on the corner that you'd walk by all the time, but the blinds would be closed. Well, as soon as Dabo got the job, like those blinds were open. You'd see him in there all the time, you know, meeting with different people. You'd see him at baseball games, at soccer games, like he was everywhere. Were you doing things like that in addition to just, you know, trying to get your team going?
Yeah, without question. And to be honest with you, I was doing a lot of that stuff anyway as an assistant, just because that's just who I am. It's who my family is. You know, my wife, my son, you know, if there was a softball game, if there was a football game, you know, you name it, volleyball game, like we were going to that stuff just because we really believe in just being all in on everything. And this was before I became the interim coach. And so once I became the interim coach, it was like, oh, wow, now the interim, you know, now the head coach is out here doing this stuff. And I would do some other things, you know, like our dining hall. I would go over on game days and I would, you know, go over at like noon in between classes when it was jam packed at Chick-fil-A and all those places. And I would literally stand up on a table and blow my whistle and tell everybody that we had a game that night and that they needed to be there. And I would do it every home game. That's something that I would do. I would go on Monday nights and I would meet with, the fraternities and the sororities, because they were having meetings on those nights. So I would go around to each and every one of them for like 2 hours, and I'd pop in and talk to them for 15 minutes, tell them about our games that week and how important they were to our success, if we could get them to come to the games and things like that. So I would spend a lot of time doing things like that as well, you know, just to make sure that we were keeping everybody engaged in the community. And, you know, and, you know, being from here, I think really helped me. You know, I'm from Pikeville, which is about an hour and a half away. And so this is home to me. And so I don't think it was really comfortable for me to be able to do that.
Did you, I feel like I remember you telling a story of keeping, like you had a letter of termination or something that you kept. Is there a story like that?
Yeah, it's on my desk right now. It's still there. So I got it. It's on the back of my desk. I look at it. Maybe not every day now, but yeah, during my interim season, me and the rest of our staff, we all got, you know, letters from HR that said, you know, March 31st is your termination date. Your contract as an assistant coach runs through March 31st. So on this date, your benefits will be cut. Your checks will stop coming in, all that kind of stuff. And so that letter is still sitting on the back of my desk right now because it's real. You know, I was basically fired for 4 months. I was working while knowing that I was going to be fired. And it was like, okay, do you want to accept this letter or are you going to do something about it? And, you know, we just figured that hey, you never know when you're going to get an opportunity to be a head coach. I may never get this opportunity ever again. So what am I going to do with it? I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. I'm going to do things the way I've always wanted them done. And, you know, we go back to the beginning of our podcast, Adam, we talked about having fun. I said, we're going to have fun with these guys. You know, I had six seniors and, I was going to make it about them. I was going to make it about them having the very best experience at Morehead State that they could. And so we had fun. We had fun every day with those guys. And it was intense, hard, competitive fun, but it was fun. And ultimately, I think that's why we were able to, you know, have success and get the job full time.
I love it. Preston, thanks so much for spending time with us today. You guys play SEMO, my old stomping grounds, yeah. In the first round of the OVC tournament, March 3rd. So best of luck to you guys. We'll be watching and rooting. I'll be mixed emotions. I'll root for you guys though.
I got to give him a shout out. Brad Korn's done an unbelievable job in year one. I think 11 wins. You know, you make the conference tournament. They beat some really good teams in our league this year. I know that my first year as a head coach, we couldn't have that kind of success. It's hard to do, especially in a year like this. I got to give him a shout out. And I have no idea if he would ever hear this, but he's done a great job. Great job in year one. Year one's tough. Year one is tough as a head coach, and he's done a really good job.
They've won four of their last five, so they're rolling in there. It should be a good game.
Absolutely.
Preston, again, thanks so much for taking the time, man, and really enjoyed it.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate you having on here. You guys do great work helping young coaches. I know the young guys that have been on my staff have really benefited from the work that you guys put in, and I'm always always available to help and hopefully help the next generation of young guys out there get into the business the right way.
Thanks, Preston.
Thanks.
What's up, podcast fans? I want to share some information about one of our partners, Lucio Sports. The team at Lucio has built an integrated platform of coaching productivity and player development apps that are being used by some of the best basketball programs around the globe, helping everyone from NBA champions to youth development academies. Their innovative and competitive memorization games make it so much easier for new players and staff members to remotely get caught up to speed. With animated playbooks, drill libraries, player development planning and monitoring, engaging game plans and scouting reports, predictive play drawing, their content services team, and more, Lucio Sports has got you covered. From players to coaches to support staff and executives, use Lucio Sports to securely keep everyone in your organization on the same page with simple on-demand access to your team's entire knowledge base. For more information, check out luciosports.com. That's LUCEO sports.com.